It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh,
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Well, listen. Sometimes the best laid plans, sometimes things don't work out. Sometimes you have the best of intentions, and you think everything's going to go. You try to be real positive. You try to be, you know, there's some real can-do attitude. And then other times, the Celtics lose 96-78 to the Toronto Raptors, ending whatever glimmers of hope remain to get the number one seed and really locking in what could be the remainder here of the regular season for the Boston Celtics and some much-needed rest for a lot of players. We are the Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Media. John Duke here, Sam Sheehan joining me. We're going to take your calls here. We're looking forward to getting to hear from you. Your thoughts, 347-215-7771 to join the show. We'll be going for an hour. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear what you think about where this team's going, where they're headed, all the good stuff, all the bad stuff, everything in between. There's all kinds of stuff we want to get to tonight. Obviously, we want to talk about tonight's game for a little bit, but we want to also look ahead. We want to talk about, you know, where things stand. We want to talk about everything. And we're really looking forward to getting your thoughts and everything else that's on your mind right now regarding this team, their health, their prospects, their potential partners and playoff opponents. It's all going to be out there for us. Sam, how you doing, my friend?
Woo! Oh, we did it. We did it. We finally, the tank race is back, baby. And the Celtics came out firing tonight, finally getting that much needed loss against the Toronto Raptors. I got a new thing where I'm all positive, baby. And unfortunately, there wasn't much positive to take from this game, but I'm finding it. The Celtics back in the hunt for the tank race. One of the top tank teams over the past, you know, day. So really could affect their ability. They can creep up from, you know, 27 to 26 now. And, you know, I think that is where you get the impact players. You know, I've heard this draft goes 26 men deep. So, you know, big loss there for the Celtics to sort of cement themselves in that top 26 talent of the first round. I mean, you know, Brad was saying the Kaizen this whole time, you know, I think all of us as Celtics fans knew that we wanted the Celtics to get to the second seed to really get that, make sure they got that top 26 pick. And boy, it worked to perfection. The Raptors bought it hook, line, and sinker. The Celtics really where they want to be for, you know, the NBA draft. So big, big game by the Celtics tonight. The game plan works to perfection. And I can't, I'm so happy. I'm ecstatic right now.
This is, and for anyone who hasn't been on Twitter lately, positive Sam Sheehan, really all over the map, changing the game left and right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that you're able to bring that here to the show. We're really looking forward to some of that positivity. I think it's going to be infectious after a night like tonight, you know. I think we all need it. So
I want to be clear. That's a separate guy, but I see how well everyone's like reacting to him.
Yes.
Like being positive. So I thought I'd give it a spin tonight. You know, to sort of in the interest of dropping kayfabe though, you know, I think this is kind of what maybe these last 2 weeks maybe should have looked like when you know, lose your second all-star and, you know, half your team was, you know, thrown into a trebuchet and launched halfway across the continental US. Like this is more what you know is normal to expect from a team that is, you know, 50% rookies for the most part.
We started the fourth quarter. I just want to, we started the fourth quarter of tonight's game with the first seed on the line with a big three participant and Kadeem Allen, our two-way rookie who started copious Red Claws games this year. Key game, crunch time, Xavier Silas, Kadeem Allen. That's where we are, you know. So,
Well,
Coach of the Year Dwayne Casey is very excited.
Yes. Shouts to Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey. Anytime, you know, you can improve your team over what you did last year by doing a bad job, you know, you got to reward that. So I'm really excited to see, you know, him get it. Also, you know, I've been hearing, I saw some like smart national guys, you know, were talking about, you know, how they're probably going to be voting for Quinn Snyder. And, you know, again, to, you know, quit all the joking around. I mean, Coach Snyder is a really deserving candidate. Anytime you can, you know, suddenly lose Gordon Hayward when you're planning on him like that, and then, you know, have an all NBA player miss multiple games and still outperform your over under. I mean, that guy has to be Coach of the Year. So, you know, congratulations.
You can't give it to anybody
Snyder.
Else. You're
right.
You
there's,
can't
there's
give
no
it to anybody else.
No. No one else hits that criteria. That's there's literally no one else that I can think of. So, yeah, congrats to Quinn Snyder, you know, Coach of the Year. It's not an award that is measured against, you know, how well a coach has done in the past. It always goes to the most deserving participant. There's not a vested interest in the media giving it to someone who, you know, might not win it any other years. So, you know, I'm not mad about the game tonight. It's actually very funny to me, as you can tell. Like, I've been laughing this whole time, and I'm not mad about the Celtics losing a game when, you know, we've known for, you know, probably a month that they were going to be locked into the two seed, but then, you know, a historic run of Terry Rozier, you know, stringing together. How many games in a row did Terry Rozier have a double digits to scoring 25? I think that got snapped tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, that's too bad to see that go. But I mean, I think that what this just kind of goes back to is this couldn't last. You know, I think, you know, highlighting, you know, the 3-point shooting is really what, you know, came undone for the Celtics in this game. I mean, and you know, credit to the Raptors. They are a very good defense. But you cannot, you know, turn the ball over as many times as the Celtics did. You know, they got it together a little bit in the second half, but they had something like 12 turnovers in the first half and, you know, 13% 3-point shooting tonight, 3 for 22. That's not going to get it done against the Raptors. Celtics actually outshot them at the free throw line 28-8, which is pretty staggering.
No,
and I don't really know what to make of that. Yeah. Greg Moose from Sport, Greg Monroe with 9 free throws in the game tonight. And, you know, Al getting, you know, 5 of his own. So, what did you see out there? I mean, I know we don't have much to say, but what's your take, John?
No, as you said, I thought it was interesting. The Celtics had 28 free throws to 9 on the other side. I felt like there were numerous opportunities where the Celtics were getting absolutely destroyed, hammered, hacked. Jaylen Brown digs a jumper and Siakam runs him over. No call. I mean, it felt like Toronto was taking out the aggression of getting beat by Cleveland last night on the Celtics. And, you know, I mean, look, they're a good team. I don't think we're saying that Toronto's not talented, not, you know, a team to be reckoned with here in the East. But it felt like the Celtics were a tired team. I think Toronto was there for the taking. But when you got Silas and Kadeem Allen, you know, running things for you in the fourth, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. I mean, you got Fred VanVleet looking like he's crossed between J.J. Barea, Isaiah Thomas, and both Isaiah Thomases, actually, at the same time. I don't really know how that's possible, but let's just say it was in a lab. There was DNA. And anyway, I don't want to get into it. But just picture Spider-Man bit Isaiah Thomas with a J.J. Barea. All right, I'm going too far down the road. Your point is, he was amazing. He was amazing. Lee is he was something, and the Celtics really didn't have an answer for him. So, but you know what? I'm glad. I at this point, I'm not glad that, you know, I would like to have, you know, get the one seed, but I'm in some cases, it's kind of nice to be able to say, look, they got 4 games left, almost 2 weeks, a week and a half, 2 weeks left. Now's the time to rest. Let everybody get their minutes. Let Al Horford take some time. Let Terry Rozier's ankle heal up. Take the time. Tatum has played every game. You know, kind of ease him off of his minutes. And I think it's Yabu time. It's Yabu time.
Yeah.
Jabari time. I want to see that Dabaselli a lot here over the next 4 games.
Yeah, I think, you know, tactical rest is going to be the point. I will say what is very encouraging. I do think that there's something. I think it was sort of nice in a way to have the. I think this game was called like playoff games are going to be called, which I which I thought was good. You know, bad for the Celtics' chances of winning because you know they're a less talented team, but a good to see you know what that physicality is going to be like because Toronto, to their credit, you know they came out and they were not scared. They knew what they had to do. They turned the Celtics over. You know, an outstanding amount of times, and you really ratcheted up their defense, really made things uncomfortable, you know, made guys they weren't scared of shoot. The only person who could really consistently get anything going tonight was Greg Monroe, but, you know, for defensive reasons, you just can't have Greg Monroe out there, you know, all the time, and I think that you know, that's part of Fred VanVleet, big night, you know? So I think that, you know, something to be, you know, kind of taken away from this, though, is that the Celtics did do, you know, pretty passable defense for, you know, three quarters, you know, against a Toronto team. You know, they still shot, you know, 30%. Like, I didn't get the sense the Celtics defense was, like, unsustainable. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Celtics defense against the Raptors, who are one of the better offensive teams in the NBA. Like, they held them relatively in check until, you know, the fourth quarter. You know, things got out of hand a little bit in the second quarter with a little run there. But, you know, particularly the first quarter, the Celtics, you know, against a dialed-in, you know, top-of-the-conference team like the Raptors are, I think it's really encouraging to see them, like, you know, be able to maintain that defense because, you know, if you get a little bit lucky with some of those threes, this game looks a lot different. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, so this is kind of what the Celtics are. You live by the three, you die by the three. That's part of being a high variance team is you are just going to lose these games when you know, the other team really makes the threes difficult for you and you just can't get the tough ones to fall. And this is, you know, this was one of those nights, but I also think that this makes me feel better about, you know, maybe the Celtics in the first round when they still likely will not have Kyrie Irving back and are going to have to gut it out against, you know, what's going to be a tough out in one of these teams, whether it's, you know, the Heat, the Wizards, God forbid, or, you know, the Bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's no question that the Wizards are the one to avoid, the one you don't want to contend with. I'm very much in favor of facing the Bucks. I'm not worried about the Bucks. You know, certainly not having Brogdon helped a great deal last night, but that's a team I feel like that still needs some different pieces, some different coaching. That game was absolutely within reach, even though, you know, obviously the Celtics were really running on fumes. I feel like in a seven-game series, the Celtics are going to be in a better chance to take down Milwaukee than they were last night. And I think that by the time they get into the real iron of the Eastern Conference, assuming they're able to get through that first round, they should have a much better chance, you know, other than playing Washington. Washington is the one battle-tested of those three teams that you feel like if they get in that first round, they may have that edge to be able to get over on Boston. So If we could avoid the Wizards, I think that would be the comedy of the Morris brothers playing against each other would sustain us for a couple of days. I think, you know, having to go up against the Wizards probably would wear off the charm of that matchup pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be awful for Markieff Morris to not only go through all the Celtics beef last year, like he must hate the Celtics to begin with, but then to have the Celtics take his brother and transform him, and now that Markieff is the bad Morris brother, that's got to sting even worse. You know, to lose your place in the Morris brother hierarchy has got to hurt. But you know, as Terry Bit of Riffs calls him, the Flask Dad is out here, baby. And you know, he did not have a great game tonight, but I've been you know, in general over this six game winning streak, I've been really impressed with, you know, Marcus Morris. I think I'm pretty sure that he was the only person on the Celtics. Let me check. It was only he and Greg Monroe were the only people on the Celtics to shoot, 50% or higher tonight, though. So even though I felt like you know, Mook had a bad night, he still, well, because, you know, he did have a bad night from three, 1 for 4. He still ended up with 21 and five. So five turnovers, but 21 and five. And it kind of felt like a worse game for him than he's had. So I've really come around on Mook, and I guess is what I'm trying to say here in a long-winded way. And I feel a lot better about his role and where he's at going into the playoffs. And I think he could really be an X factor for the Celtics.
Oh, and they're going to need him. I mean, really, I mean, without Kyrie in that first series. Okay. I'm not completely giving up the chance that he could be there in that first series at some point. I don't, you know, 3 to 6 weeks is a pretty soft number, and who knows, who knows what could happen. I'm not discounting. I think they'll be cautious just because they know this isn't the year they're likely going to go anywhere. So get it right if they can. But, you know, I think there's still a chance that if they can extend that series and with, you know, sixth, seventh game, they're gonna try to get him out there for a clinching game. So, you know, there's that. I think for that matter, I don't think that there's a lock that you're not going to see, as crazy as it sounds, you know, Marcus Smart. I think he's also in play.
Yeah.
You know, it was 5 weeks for Chris Paul to come back from a similar injury. So, you know, that's pushing things a bit, but it's not beyond reason that he could be back by the end of I guess it'd be the month of April. So that would be the end of the first round. So it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Again,
yeah.
Even if they're on full strength, they have a hard time with the Wizards, you know? So that doesn't make you feel a whole lot better. I'd like to see them get out of the first round. But does that mean is the season a failure if they don't get out of the first round and they lose to the Wizards? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, expectations kind of have been adjusted. I mean, if you told me that at the beginning of the year, NYPD would have, you know, found me like 3 months later covered in blood, you know, living feralely in, you know, Prospect Park. But you know, knowing what we know now about, you know, the Hayward injury, just how few games Kyrie has played and the fact that he's out, you know, he's almost certainly going to miss, you know, at least a big chunk of the playoffs. You know, I think that was, you know, always going to kind of be in the cards. And so now, you know, we're kind of back to the Boston Celtics playoff teams that we watched for the past 3 years, you know, under-talented, but scrappy, coached well. They're going to struggle to score. These teams do not have Isaiah Thomas, which is a, you know, that hurts. But, you know, other than that, besides not having Isaiah Thomas, they do have, you know, better. They do have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I think, is one big difference. And I think that's kind of what this is going to hinge on. You know, how much can you realistically expect of those young guys to step up in that sort of a situation? Because, you know, Jason Tatum has already taken all the expectations, thrown them out the window, set them on fire, thrown them into a garbage compactor, just absolutely shattered every single expectations. And I worry we're getting a little bit too far ahead of ourselves. I'm hearing on podcasts that people want him to, you know, be a transcendent isolation scorer, you know, in the playoffs. And it's like, yes. And so I'm saying, like, yes, he can do that. But, like, I mean, he's just turned 20. Like, he just turned 20. Like, let's slow our roll a little bit, you know. Like, you know, the Celtics are going to have to win these games, you know, the way they've been winning them, with defense and, you know, kind of getting a little bit lucky with their three-point shot and, you know, hoping that, you know, you don't go cold at the wrong time.
No, you're absolutely right. You're not even – I would love him to become, you know, the finals MVP this year. But we need to be realistic about the expectations. I mean, just over, I suppose, 2 months ago, we were worried about the wall and worried about whether he was going to get through it. And he's shown so much growth. Let's take the win that we have right now and say, look, he's grown a lot. When he comes back next fall, he's going to be ready to take on another level. And we just don't know exactly how that's going to fit in with around Hayward and around Brown and around – you know, what's going to happen with Smart? What's going to happen with Rozier? I think there's a lot of questions on the rest of the backcourt, but some good stuff there, certainly, for us to weigh in on. Sam, let's you were ready to take some calls? Want to do this?
Yeah, let's take some calls. I'm sure everyone will be just as happy as I was, and you know, no one's going to be down or bummed out or anything.
No
like doubt. That.
No bummer. No, yeah, don't bum us out, man. Okay, listen.
Yeah, come on.
We're here.
We're riding a real high right now.
Things are going real nice. Very nice right now. Can you give us, wait, before we do that, since I did that, can you give us your little,
my read for the Boston Celtics. But yeah, no, I had recently done an audition tape for, you know, the Boston Celtics. They had a contest to kind of get on the Jumbotron. So, you know, here was my submission of a Boston Celtics play call.
Yeah.
My wife, so I'm hoping to hear back soon.
Wow.
I think that's, you know, very similar to, you know, some of the Celtics greats that we've had. Johnny Most-esque, I think I would say. I would call that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Have you heard anything back yet?
I have not. Interesting, but I'm sure we'll get to them. We're off to a hot start with our call up, by the way.
Listen. I figured things are going so well. I mean, I think we got all the listeners, all the callers. Somebody's going to hear this, and it's going to be like, "Hey, I met this waitress, and now she's the star of the biggest." You know, it's like, you know, Julia Roberts, you know, how she got discovered.
Right.
It's kind of like that. So
I am Pretty Woman. You know, I am the Pretty Woman. I've always compared myself to that and modeled a lot of, you know, kind of what I do, choices I make off of that movie. NYPD, please don't look into that.
I've got myself as kind of a Hector Elizondo type anyway, so that fits pretty well. I'm glad to hear.
I've said that about
That's
you.
Good.
I've often said that about you.
It kind of goes around.
No, I've told people
exactly.
On the street. I've stopped them to, you know, show them a picture of you. This is John Duke. He's a friend of mine. Also, I see him as kind of a Hector Elizondo. You know, again, they keep it moving, but you know, I'm out here caping for you, man.
I get it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's good stuff. Starring in Necessary Roughness with Scott Bakula and Hector Elizondo. Okay, before we get on to the old call line, we got to talk about hymns. Okay, do you do this from the round table? You guys do the hymns read? This is the hymns read.
We're sponsored by Harmony, but also you know, I've done the read for hymns, and I gotta say, John, you know, one thing that I'm concerned about, you know, in my advancing age is you know, I'm worried about my hairline. I've got the genes for it. I'm already going gray. I'm 28. I'm already going gray. So I need to keep everything together there. Do you have any ideas of you know, maybe somewhere I could go?
Well, listen,
I'm
40. I'm gonna be 40 here in July, right? So listen, I know what's going on here. The gray thing, boom, that kicked in at 28 too. And so what they say is like 2/3 of men lose their hair by 35. So I haven't lost all of it, right? But it's you know, look, you gotta keep an eye on this thing, right? That's you know, you gotta keep an eye on this. You know, you don't want things to go bad. So what you do is you go to 4hymns.com. Okay, and what they do is they got the one-stop shop. They deal with the hair loss. They deal with the skin care because they got to make your glow look right. Sexual wellness, because let's be honest, right? We got to be well sexually. It's all for men, right? So it's the baldest thing is optional, but thanks to science. This isn't like, you know, like some sort of voodoo, you know, witch doctor stuff. This is science, baby. Right? So what you do is they take the well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair, not somebody else's hair. You're not going to keep, you know, Hector Elizondo's hair. You're keeping your own hair, right? This is good stuff. It's not snake oil. It's all that. No, you know, prescriptions, it's real science stuff. This isn't like, you know, like I said, a witch doctor. You're not going to some back room in New Orleans, the French Quarter, and then, you know, Kamala from WWE comes out.
By the way, it did not work. Like, so I'm still exploring my options here. That's how desperate I was.
Well, and that's so I don't know if you do this, but what you got to do. So everyone here who does this, the listeners to this show, this wonderful podcast. You get a trial month of hymns for just $5. So all you do is $5, and you save the lettuce on top of your head. So right now, this happens while supplies last. So you go to the website for details. And that costs hundreds if you were going to a doctor or pharmacy. And I don't go to a pharmacy. I don't even go to the witch doctor down in you've done it. You know it costs more than $5, right?
Yeah, significantly more. I had to make some promises about some years on the end of my life. A demon emerged and, took something out of me. So, it seems like I paid a much steeper price than I would have paid with hymns.
If you've seen Beetlejuice, that could happen to you. So don't do that. You just go to forhymns.com/report. Okay. And you get forhymns. That's forhymns.com/report. forhymns.com/report. That's what you got to do. You do that, you avoid the witch doctor, it's all good. So just do that, okay? And that's what we're asking you to do. And when you do that, it helps us to do what we do here. And the banter, and it helps Sam pay for to go to the witch doctor. So it all works out for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's take a call. Let's do it. You ready?
We need a caller to save us.
We do. Save us from ourselves. 862 area code. Thanks for calling to the Stolen Post Game Show on CLNS Radio. Who do we got on the line?
What's going on, fellas? It's Isaiah from Jersey.
Hey, what's up, Isaiah? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Sam? All right, so it's good to talk to you. And John, I think this is the first time I'm talking with you, so it's a pleasure.
It's the first time, but it's an honor for me, Isaiah. We're glad to have you. Tell us, man, are you feeling good about tonight's game as much as they have an IR?
There aren't too many takeaways from tonight's game. I think it was clear, we were going to come out, play the game, and if we were in it, then we were going to be in it, and if we weren't, he was going to rest the guys. So, I didn't see anything wrong with tonight, except for the fact that Terry Rozier was awful. And I know everyone has a lot of faith in Terry, and a lot of people think that Terry should be, or can start for another team. And I kind of disagree, man. I think Terry's role is more of a six-man scorer off the bench, change-of-pace guy. But he's really a two-guard stuck in a point guard's body, kind of like Avery Bradley was. And I really don't feel comfortable when he's running the offense. I mean, he scores out of the point guard position, but if you notice that when Terry's out there, all the good things that Al Horford does, like pick-and-roll basketball that you see that he plays with Kyrie and that he plays with Marcus, it's all of a sudden null and void. I mean, he just doesn't see the court to me enough to put the ball in his hand and just let him be the main playmaker. I do think he has a role. I think he's a great scorer when his shot is on. As you saw tonight, his shot was a little off. But that's okay. That comes with the territory. I just think that Celtic fans overvalue him because he can score, and they don't really look at his whole entire game.
I think that we have been so impressed with what Terry's done offensively that we have – Yeah, he's done what they've needed him to do. They need somebody to score points. Without Kyrie, having someone fill that role is natural. But I think you're right. I think part of the issues that they've run into and the droughts they've run into of late have not come from missing shots. It's been, the ball sticking a little bit more. And it's really hard.
And the turnovers.
Right. The turnovers, yeah. He does not take care of the ball in the same way Marcus does or even Kyrie does. It's an issue,
but
He doesn't even, go ahead, Isaiah.
It doesn't really seem like he playmakes much. It seems like he's a 90s point guard that gets it. He reminds me of a lesser Stephon Marbury that can get in the lane but dishes the ball after he doesn't have his shot. He doesn't get in the lane to create for anyone. He doesn't open the offense that way. I don't think that his game is molded that way. I think he's a two guard in a point guard's body.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think everyone, I think that is Terry. I'm with you on that. I think he is a two guard, in a point guard's body. I think that he can, kind of get away with playing that way because he is such an excellent athlete and rebounder. He makes those big plays in traffic. But this is, you know, this is why the Celtics, this is another reason that Celtics offense is hurting so bad, and why I think like Greg Monroe really helps things with his passing, because the Celtics really don't have like a natural playmaker with, you know, Larkin out. I know it's like, this is where we're at in the season, that Shane Larkin, like, being sick is like, I'm like watching like the for health updates on when Shane Larkin's going to be able to return to action. But, you know, Terry's like a scorer, man. Like, and I think that, you know, he's thrived as a scorer with, you know, the Celtics really desperately needing scoring. I think the same thing could be said for, Marcus Morris, I think, is also very similar, where his forte is scoring, and that's what the Celtics have needed. And both of those guys have kind of been able to do that. You know, tonight we saw a Raptors team that was a little bit better. They took this game seriously, and they seemed to, you know, scheme for this and be a little bit more prepared for all of this stuff. And it kind of exposed just how barren the Celtics are with, you know, offensive options. And I think that Terry not being able to, you know, facilitate it, or at least as well as you would want from a pure point guard, is one of his weaknesses. And they took that away from him. And I think that's where you really miss Marcus. And that's, you know, Kyrie Irving, this other guy, who also, I think, could have really helped things. So I'm not sure how much of an indictment that is on Terry Rozier, because I think there's still something to be said for a point guard who can shoot the way Terry does and also rebound the way he does, and still defend at a pretty, you know, high level. But I totally agree with you that he is not that pure point guard, and the fact that he's 6'2" does not automatically make him, you know, some kind of playmaker.
No, I totally agree with what you just said. And to the other point, I don't want this to come across as if I'm tearing Terry's game down, because I'm not. I definitely see his purpose and his value to the team. But his defense, I mean, I think it's a little bit overrated. My thing is, which leads me actually to a bigger point that I have. I would love to see Greg Monroe playing more. And I know that Celtic fans just follow the narrative that says that Greg Monroe is big and slow and can't play defense. But I just like what he provides out there more than I like what he can't do. And I think that if the Celtics are a defensive team, as if everyone says that we are, why are we relying on the backline defense as much as we are? I think that that's happening because Marcus isn't out there. He's once again showing that he can stop point guards, two guards, threes, from penetrating while he's out there. He at least has a problem getting over screens. He busts through screens and really makes it difficult for the guard to turn the corner on him. He's in front of guards instead of on their hip. With Terry, a lot of the time, he's riding their hip because he's not going through those screens the way that someone like Marcus does. So because of that, that puts extra pressure on the back line, to the point that even Al looks bad. Look at Al's plus minus. Everyone, all of our big men look bad out there because of the turnstile defense that we saw, as evidenced with Marcus was out the first time with the hand injury. So my bigger thing is, though, getting back to Greg Monroe, is that I would love to see him out there more, because I know he's not fleet of foot, but I think he makes up for that somewhat by really getting those long arms out in the passing lane. I think I think one of the other callers, Nick, brings it up a lot, that Monroe really gets a lot of steals with his hands, and that's something that Baines doesn't do. Because if you look at Baines, he's not a shot blocker, and he's not a good, and he's only good on one-on-one defense when he's bigger than the guy that's in front of him. But whenever he runs up against a bigger center, a true center, they eat Baines alive. And I'm seeing Greg Monroe having a little bit more resistance one-on-one, and I see his try-hard effort. And I get it, he's a turnstile out there at times, but he's a rebounder that's necessary. He fights for those boards. He gets his hands out in passing lane, and he clogs the paint a little differently. Those high pick and rolls can be rough, but I think I'd rather go with what he gives me offensively and rebounding wise, and live with what he's going to give me on the defensive end.
That's kind of interesting. You mentioned that. Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
No, I mean, I wasn't going to do much except agree. I think that that's, you know, that's the right takeaway. You know, Greg is Greg's got weaknesses, Greg's got strengths, but I totally agree that his it outweighs, you know, the rebounding. There were a couple of times when the Raptors had like four guys crashing the glass, and Greg was the only one there on the offensive glass and would just rip a rebound away from like four people. I think that's a little bit underrated as far as his rebounding is. And the passing. The passing's spectacular.
Yes.
Everybody was pretty brutal around the rim today, but tonight Greg was one of the only guys who could consistently kind of get everything going. And, you know, when you are a team that relies on the high variance of the three-point shot the way the Celtics do, you need someone who can be that safety blanket, who can go get you 2 points on the block, you know, and at least, you know, get things started so you're not having these four-minute-long stretches without scoring. Could you guys imagine watching a basketball game where a team doesn't score for 4 minutes at a time?
Yeah,
that would be awful.
No one would watch that or talk about it on a podcast. Jeez,
no,
what a waste.
I wouldn't do that. Oh, boy.
But not to mention one last thing is that with Greg, I think he gives the offense, it gives us something that we haven't had. Kind of what Celtic, it's kind of what the Al Horford, average Al guys, they want Al to be as aggressive as Greg Monroe is. I mean, and if Al isn't going to do it, and Greg gives that offense something that Baines doesn't, Baines just stands around in the spot and waits for a jump shot that may or may not go in. While Greg, like the time that he put the ball on the floor and against Nogueira, and he just took it all the way to the rim from, what, 23 feet out? I mean, that's something that he brings to the offense that we haven't had all year from that position. And it's not like Al can't do it. It's just Al defers and actually doesn't want to be as aggressive as he should be. So I, for one, on the offensive end, I like the fact that opposing centers aren't out there 5-on-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Celtics are going to have to make a choice this summer, right? So I think, between one or the other, you know, whether they keep Baines or try
Monroe
to resign Monroe. And I think you're right. I think I would rather keep Monroe than Baines, too.
Yeah.
You know, Baines
way
played well to start the year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Baines had a great start to the year, but I think that's waned, and I think Monroe, I think he offers more. And with Tice coming back, you know, you do have kind of you have more versatility in your, you know, at the center position than you did, you know, a year ago. At least in terms of, if we're looking at this from October, this coming October, you've got more versatility with Greg Monroe in that spot than having Baines there. You know,
yeah.
I think that's the way to go. But I know Sam's done a lot of work on this, so you may disagree in terms of keeping Monroe.
real quick, they can keep both. They actually have non-bird rights on both guys. So if Greg takes $6 million or less, he can come back at no penalty. Baines, I think it's something like 5.4, which I think is, you know, probably right around his price range too. Those guys can both come back. Any more than that, they'd have to dip into the mid-level exception, which is about $8 million. So I don't know what they would do, but I don't think it's outrageous for either of those guys to come back on deals like that, especially with where the market is for big men. Good Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's going to be rough.
Yeah, but I don't know if I wanted Baines back, because I would much rather take a run at someone like Nerlens Noel and put him in the rotation rather than go back to Baines again. I'd rather upgrade the position if I can.
Gotcha. I guess what I'm saying is they can actually do both with the cap space, because they could bring back Aaron Baines and still have that full mid-level exception intact to go get like a Nerlens Noel, or, you know, there's a lot of other guys who are going to be out there. Dwayne Dedmon.
We talked about Nerlens the last time we talked.
Yeah. And someone else who's on the radar, it's going to be interesting to see how his free agency goes. Brook Lopez is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And I'm really interested to see where the market goes on him, because there's not a lot of money out there. And he is a former All-Star, but he and Derek Favors are kind of in the same bucket here. And I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of money those guys get when, you know, things are tight here around the league, because those guys would be no-brainer max players.
Upgrades.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I don't know. I'm not sure either of those guys gets the max in today's day and age, but we're going to see. Isaiah, you got any final thoughts for us before we let you go?
No, just to say that the season's winding down, and I think that the season's exactly where they need to be, and honestly, they're a lot better off than any of us thought they would be on the first night of the season. So I'm going into the playoffs. I don't have any expectations for what they're going to do. I'm just looking forward to seeing how Tatum and Brown continue their growth while they're in the playoffs, and that's the most important thing. Keep getting these guys experience. Ride the wave as long as you can, because this year is gravy. Next year is the real year, and the NBA better watch out and hope that we don't actually progress any faster than we already have. This team is awesome.
I love it. Good stuff. Isaiah, hey, man, thank you for calling in. Good chatting with you. We'll get you on the next one for sure. Thanks for calling in.
Definitely, John. It was a pleasure. Sam, as always, man, it was great talking to you, and go green.
Great to hear from you, Isaiah. I like Isaiah because he's a fellow smart Stan with me.
Nice.
We're out here fighting everyone who's trying to bring the smart slander into the show.
It's real.
Anyway, Isaiah is with me. I know I can count on him to come in and back me up whenever I get paired up with anyone on the show who's going to try and make the show about smart slander, and that's that is the number one priority for me.
It's important. You got to know your friends are, absolutely. Can't anybody attack it from yeah, absolutely. All right, we got to go for someone who's been waiting a long time to be on with us from the 631 area code. Welcome to the Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Media. Who are we listening to here tonight?
This is Jack from I'm in Boston.
Woo! Oh, we got a celebrity on with us.
Oh,
I'm
honored.
We have a celebrity call in. We got Jack of Jack Michael 17, posting extraordinaire from Twitter, calling into the show. Jack. Welcome.
Honored.
Yes, multiple time poster, first time caller. So, I'm happy to be here.
As a Terry Rozier scholar, Jack, I want to get your take. See, you probably know more about Terry than anyone. You've given me insider information on Terry in the past. What do you think of the game out there tonight on a scale from you know, little Buster to could do this all day. Like, what would you say?
Yeah. So obviously he had his struggles. You know, it wasn't the best game for him. He obviously missed last night with the ankle. So if I had to, I'd say on what did you say, little Buster to could do this all day. I'd say I put him at a chump. Or a punk between chump
okay.
and punk.
No. All right, we're not a full little Buster for the game.
No,
and I would agree.
That's good
because he was trying to push the pace. You could see it was not like Terry's effort was not there. He was not checked out of the. It's not like he checked out of the game. He was out there pressing, but just the Raptors were dialed in around the rim on him and were not letting him get anything remotely up.
Yeah, and I mean. What do we score tonight? 78, 79, around there. Something like that, right? And
so somewhere in there, I believe.
Yeah, I
set the box score on fire before we got on here. It was actually funny to me,
no.
Which is why I lit it on fire. So
yeah, the reason I didn't remember the score is because I was the whole fourth quarter I was actually laughing. me and all my friends. So we missed pretty much the entire fourth quarter because of how funny it was.
Yeah, it was the funniest game of all time. Yeah, we were all laughing at it, having a grand old time. Good too.
So we scored
like whatever 78 points. Last night in Milwaukee, we scored in the high 90s or almost 100. And you know, we had no Terry Rozier last night, obviously, but the offense isn't always going to be flowing like it did last night. You know, like Sam mentioned earlier, Mook and Moose were the only ones that shot over 50%, which is great to me. But but you know, so you bring back Terry and the offense sputters a bit, and you know that happens sometimes. You know, it was just kind of one of those games, just like the first game in Toronto was just one of those games. You know, they're a really tough home team. You know, obviously we're a great road team, but when the entire team is struck with yellow fever on the Oregon Trail, it's hard to, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to have those BS kind of comeback games, you know?
Yeah. It's whenever like your top like projected three scorers pass away of dysentery, like just after you get through Kansas, like that's always gonna like it's always gonna be a tough time out there today. And you know, I don't know if you guys got a chance to you know, kind of listen to Low Post earlier today. He had Goat ESPN Forsberg, who's one of the more underrated guys out there.
Correct.
As far as reporting.
Yeah.
The gentleman who covers the Raptors from the Toronto Star, and they were talking about, you know, tonight's matchup, you know, the Celtics, the Raptors, where, you know, kind of where things are going to end up falling. You know, and one of the things that really struck me was they said something about the Celtics and the Heat being like very similar teams. And I was kind of surprised at how much respect was kind of given to the Heat as far as like prospective matchups, where, you know, it seems to be kind of universally agreed upon that the Bucks are, you know, don't have everything together and they're, you know, they're struggling a little bit. But I thought that was a little bit strange because, you know, when you play, you know, you're up against two All-Stars. If you play, you know, a Wizards, this is a Wizards team that probably, if everyone was healthy, probably would have finished a lot higher in the standings. You know, we're talking about a Bucks team that is always going to have the best player on the floor in, you know, most matchups. So I don't know. I thought that was a little bit interesting because while I do respect Eric Spoelstra, and that's obviously, you know, where a lot of this is coming from, you know, Rodney Magruder is not putting the fear of God in me. I think he's actually out for the year, but you know, Tyler Johnson is not someone I'm tremendously worried about. You know, like this, they've got one all-star in Goran Dragic, and he needed like the chain of command to, you know, basically be like that last Survivor show on CBS where like the State of the Union gets bombed and like the 19th guy in line makes it. That's like basically what Goran Dragic's like all-star game selection was. They needed so many people to go down with injury before he could get into the game. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Because John and I touched on this a little bit in the show. We didn't really dive into it. What are your guys' thoughts kind of going forward as far as, you know, playoff implications and, you know, where things are going to be shaking out? And feel free to extrapolate out to round two.
Yeah.
Jack,
so,
go ahead, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll go. So I kind of go back and forth. You know, after watching last night's game, I'm kind of back on the wants to play the Bucks bandwagon, just because they kind of look like a team that's not all there, you know, especially when, you know, Marcus Morris is hitting turnaround shots from 3 points. I mean, well, that's all the shots he had, so I guess. But, you know, so when Kadeem Allen is your starting point guard and you're able to put up, you know, a competitive game against arguably one of the best players in the world, you know, that doesn't really bode well for their playoff folks, I didn't think. But then also you see Miami, and they seem to be, you know, like you said, Sam, Giannis is always going to be the best player on the floor in a playoff series, except when Terry Rozier is playing, of course. But,
yeah, of course.
there is something to be said for having, you know, having the best player on the floor in a playoff series. So, tough. Like I said, I go back and forth. The one team I do definitely want to avoid is the Wizards. So, John, if you want to chime in from there.
No, I agree. I think, you know, looking at, because we haven't talked a lot about Miami. I kind of went into the Wizards thing a bit. Miami, I agree. I mean, the novelty of being able to play against Magruder, I think that'd be pretty great. But I think Kelly Olynyk, I'm afraid he's going to hurt somebody. Kelly Olynyk, I feel like, you know, Brad Stevens went up in traction somehow. I feel like that's how this is all going to shake out at the Miami. So,
yeah.
Which would be the worst possible injury, mind you. You know,
they'll be shaking hands.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the end of the season will Yabu getting the clipboard would be great if they put Yabu in a suit and he was the interior replacement for Brad. I would actually feel a little bit, but that's like the only circumstance where it feels like a little bit more comfortable. You know, to be like a little bit more serious about it though, like, because I just feel like Miami is sort of The key for me with Miami is they do not have the talent that a lot of these other teams in the East do. Like even the Pacers, who I think are the other similarly talented team, Victor Oladipo is the real deal, and he has reached deep into the Celtics' chest cavity and ripped their heart out each and every time they've played. And you know, I have a lot of respect for kind of Victor Oladipo and what he's done this year. And Miles Turner is a really good. You know, I don't think people understand how good of a center Miles Turner is. And, you know, you sort of look at this Miami Heat squad, and they don't have, you know, they have Hassan Whiteside and they have Goran Dragic. But Hassan Whiteside is, you know, having temper tantrums after games, you know,
exactly.
saying, you know, where he's questioning his future with the franchise. Again, I have a lot of respect for, you know, Eric Spoelstra, but it seems to me like this team that he has shares more DNA with like the, you know, 2014 to like 2016 Boston Celtics, when Isaiah was kind of they had Isaiah and guys, before they got Al Horford, and they didn't really have any of the scoring. And that's like what this team, you know, feels like to me. And those teams just generally don't do very well in the playoffs, because you do need to have a sort of scoring. You need to have that sort of talent. And even with the injuries, Miami is one of the few teams, I think, where Boston could actually out talent them with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who I think Goran Dragic would still be the best player in the series, but I think both of those guys are better than whoever Miami's second best player would be at that point. All disrespect due to Dwayne Wade. That's the other great thing, is Dwayne Wade would absolutely take the last shot. And I am begging and pleading for Dwayne Wade to be the one taking the last second shot with the series on the line. Please, please, dear God, let it be Dwayne Wade taking a contested fall away.
Kind of like a reverse Paul Pierce from a few years back when he knocked about. He makes it and he just kind of leans into it. The shot clangs off the rim. He just stands there and looks for a while. You know, I think that'd be great. I think that there was also a real chance there where Kelly Olynyk, maybe some sort of fan fiction thing I'm going to write up, but like, you know, Dwayne Wade tries to hurt somebody and then Kelly Olynyk inadvertently, it doesn't mean to, and then they end up like kind of those forces combined actually end up hurting each other. There's some sort of way, there's some sort of karmic thing going on there where one doesn't try, one does try, and yet they counteract each other and actually, you know, spontaneously combust. I'm not sure what happens. It is the Heat, so it's anything is possible there. But, you look at those, just to shift, though, a little bit more seriously, to the second round, because I know you wanted to kind of go into that, and we probably jump ahead here, but you know, you look at the second round, and you know, obviously everyone's really excited about Philadelphia, and
give me that
for good
series.
Reason. But
this is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. Jack is a resident Sixers expert, so I wanted to get his Sixers takes on the record too.
I'll go real short, and we'll pivot to Jack on this. I don't see any way. I mean, to me, the ideal situation is to end up facing Philly, and then having Kyrie back, you know, for that second round, and he just obliterates them, because I don't think they have anybody that can slow him down in any way, shape, or form. And I think the Celtics have a whole bunch of things to throw at Philly. And you know, now I'll pivot to Jack here and let him take it from here. I assume I know where we're going, but I'm really interested in the direction to take this back.
I mean, just a real quick to get my thoughts out there. I think this all hinges on the health of Embiid, because I'm not sure I want to play Philly if Embiid is healthy. I don't know. I'm not scared. I know everyone says LeBron James, you know, and he is due that respect. He's been to the finals like what, 8 times, 7 times in a row, something insane like that. This is different. This is very different. If you look at the point differentials, they've been first or second in the East pretty much every, you know, all of those years, even when it was bad in Cleveland, even when, you know, things were shaky. They've been top 7 in point differential in the league because the West has been better. It's been, you know, shaky. This year they're 6th and like 17th or something like that. Like it is a jarring drop off. And I don't know. LeBron James is playing a lot of minutes. He's playing a lot of time, and I just don't. I don't know. That's my pseudo hot take. Is obviously if Embiid is out, you want the Sixers, but you know, I think if Embiid's out, there's a chance the Sixers are kind of in the same boat as the Celtics, where you know it's not totally clear they'd get past the first round. But you know, just because of injuries. But I'm not as scared of LeBron as I think you know, some other people are, just because I don't really believe in this Cavs team.
Yeah, and if I can play devil's advocate here for a sec, if we were to lose in the second round, I'd much rather lose to the Cavaliers than the 76ers.
Oh, absolutely. If we lose to the Sixers, I'm gonna have to commit Harry Caray due to honor.
I've said in the past that I might take breaks from Twitter, but this, it might force me to. So yeah, I mean, and on more serious notes, like you said, Sam, LeBron is still LeBron. And, you know, Kevin Love is still an all-star-ish if he's not, you know, if his teeth are all in there,
yeah,
you know. And,
right.
You know, but I don't know how much I trust Jordan Clarkson or Larry Nance in a playoff series. But, on the other hand, you know, Ben Simmons is a rookie. You know, he's been an insanely good rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as good as Jason Tatum, but, you know, an insanely good rookie. And, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, while incredibly talented, has yet to play a playoff game, you know. So
mm-hmm.
while they are incredibly talented, and while Embiid might probably be the best player in the series, you know, we have Al Horford, we have Kyrie Irving, you know. Well,
mm-hmm.
we hope to have Kyrie Irving back, and we hope to have Marcus Smart back at that point, right? And we've seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the four matchups that we've had this season, or I guess three out of the four, that, you know, Al Horford does a great job on Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Baines does a good enough job on Joel Embiid. You know, so I think it'll really come, like you said, it'll really come down to how healthy is Embiid, but also how do the Sixers adjust to the playoffs when they have such, you know, a young, inexperienced roster. You know, like Jaylen Brown is young, but he's already been to an Eastern Conference final. You know, so he kind of knows how it's going to go.
He's seasoned, and he's also given a speech at Harvard too. So, you know,
yes, which
not
never done.
Yes, so. Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons has never hit a three and also never given a speech at Harvard. Look it up. That's two for two on Jaylen Brown. We're going to chalk those
facts
up in his column. These are facts.
I'm just looking forward to when, you know how they always do like the intro, like the pregame and the postgame, and they'll sit up in Legends and they'll set up like kind of the studio shows will set up there. I'm just looking forward to Alex Jones setting up there in pre- and post-game for the Sixers-Celtics.
It's going
to
be great.
I think that's what we're looking forward to.
I'm really excited to see
Twitter
him.
Twitter is going to be very interesting.
Going to be interesting to see how he plays off Charles Barkley and Shaq when they have him in the intermission in the TNT things. It's going to be great. But you got to get a Sixers expert in there, and nobody knows the Sixers like Alex Jones does.
He's seen the documents.
All right. Any final thoughts, Jack, before we let you go?
No, I mean, you know, I just want to see more Moose and Mook taking some turnaround shots. So
more Moose and Mook.
I think we all want that. We're all here for the moo moo.
We're all here for the moo moo. The double moo. Oh, God.
We appreciate you calling in, Jack.
All right. Thanks, guys. See
you. Oh, man. Good stuff from Jack there. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Look,
let's go.
We saved the game.
I think we saved
the game when we saved the night. I'm in a much better mood. We've done it. We've turned it around.
Just a little Janos update, or Janos, depending upon your pronunciation of the J's and what part
mm-hmm.
of Eastern Europe you're in. Janos, I pronounce the J. It's America. Get used
mm-hmm.
to it. He says he's going to buy lots of whiskey. So he's very nervous about the playoffs. So he's going to go out and buy extra whiskey.
This is the real reason I
need to listen
Celtics
to this
to win. Because nobody likes a sad Janos. I like Janos to have like a little bit of swagger.
Yes.
I love him when he's He also did, as of 7 seconds ago, 21 seconds ago now, he does say, Sixer rat is fight, but I am not worried, this guy. So, Janos has weighed in on our thoughts on the Sixers in the second round. He has spoken. Even with the whiskey, I'm with Janos here, and I think that that's the, Sixers rat is fight.
We could have said it better ourselves, honestly.
We couldn't, really couldn't have.
I think I've never done the whiskey soup combo, but I feel like that's really, Janos has really unlocked something for my palate. So I really appreciate his introduction to my life, and looking forward to going through the playoffs with him, Jack, Alex Jones, all the other, stars from Celtics Weird Twitter, the Riffs man. I mean, it's gonna be a fun couple months here, no doubt.
It's gonna be really fun, and I really hope, it would be really nice to see the Celtics team, kind of get a shot to make a deep run. They're gonna need to kind of survive whatever happens in the first round to even have a shot. But I really think if they get Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart, some semblance of Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart back. Like, it's not a high chance. There is a chance we could look up and see this team in the finals in a couple of months. Like, that's not off the board. They could also, go home in 5 games in the first round. It's also tragically on the table. But, this is going to be very interesting. It's going to be stressful, but it's also going to be interesting.
I mean, as badly as they played tonight, this game was there for them to take, and they just didn't have the horses. They were tired. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it didn't work tonight, but you got to figure with Smart, with Kyrie, they get another shot at this. You got to like their chances. And I think that's they've got a puncher's chance, and there's nobody else in the East that really figures it out. And part of the reason I don't want to see the Sixers do well is you don't want to see these teams figure anything out this year and get a step ahead while the Celtics are seemingly trying to just keep some sort of stasis about the East. So that way they, they have an even better chance, next year, whether LeBron stays or goes, you feel like fully healthy Celtics, they're number one, they would be the number one team, I would think, in the East next year, barring, no major moves. We won't even talk about Kawhi right now, but that's what's out there. Let's go to the 413 area code. Welcome to the Celtics Post Game Show here on Celtics. Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Radio. Welcome to the show. You out there? Mm-hmm. Or not? Going once, going twice. Thanks for listening. All right, let's go to this. Yeah. Let's go to the 978 area code. Welcome to the Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Radio. Who do we got? Nobody.
We pushed through with this. People were enjoying people were enjoying the riffs too much.
Had to
log off.
they heard Jack and it's like, I can't do it.
They can't follow up. He's an imposing caller, you don't want to be the one following that. It's like when I got stuck behind a girl at karaoke the other night who just killed Dreams. Like, just absolutely brought the house down. Like, she sounded just like Stevie Nicks, and I don't know. Like, I just let my song go by. I was like, I can't. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to subject myself to that. Yeah, no. So, I understand it. We'll get them next time. We'll get the callers next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm really excited that we got Janos to listen. That's great. We'd love to have him call in next time. Yeah. We'd love to chat with you. That was great. I was really, we're going to wrap this thing up here because we've kind of gone through all the callers and all that. A couple big takeaways.
All the time too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. One, I was glad we got, I think, all seriousness, I think we're in a really good spot. I think the 2 seed is fine. I think that, they're going to end up with, you know, looking at the remaining schedule for the three teams, the Milwaukee's, you know, Milwaukee has the easiest schedule out of all of them. They play the Sixers once, which I think will probably be a loss because I think the Sixers. So they're, you know, likely they go at least 3-1. Could be worse than that. You know, Washington, they play Cleveland and they play Boston. Well, Boston's not going to play anybody when they. I would think when they play Washington next week, Cleveland is still in a dogfight for the 3 and the 4. Although there's some argument to be made whether or not they want the 4 seeds. They may think they got a better chance going through Cleveland than they do going through going through Toronto than going through Boston. So and Philly. I think there's an argument to be made there. And then, you know, looking at where Miami is, Miami's, you know, they've got the hardest of those, but they've only got 3 games left. So Toronto, who's already locked things up, so they're not going to play them. And then you've got, you know, OKC, who's in a bit of a dogfight, so that'll probably be a loss. But you could see them going 1-2. So it's still a lot to shake out in terms of where this all goes. But I think Boston's in as good a position they're in. They've got a chance to get some rest for these guys who've been, you know, running a little bit more than they usually would. Tatum can get a little bit of rest here, which would be really nice. We can see a lot of Yabusele, and then, you know, we'll see where the playoffs go. As you said, Celtics fans won't take a lot from the playoffs, but I feel like the national media and the national narrative will be something we'll be combating all summer long. While we have to remind people, you know, that all these players have been missing, just as we're still trying to remind people that all these players are missing and Brad Stevens is still getting the job done, but, you know, they want to give the coach of the year to, you know, Quinn Snyder, for example. So I feel like our job in the next 2 weeks has nothing to do with the team on the floor, but to show them that Brad Stevens should be coach of the year. I feel like that's the job at this point.
I'm going to make this my goal. I send out the call. Everyone, I needed your help. I'd like to do a giant Ponzi scheme style deception thing. You know, those things where you go to out to the retreat and they like teach you how to like sell insurance and it ends up being a Ponzi scheme. I want to do one of those, but with everyone who's got a coach of the year vote, and we lock them in the cabin with me for just 2 weeks. And I go around one by one and I stare deep into their eyes and I ask them to look in their soul and really tell me that if you trade Brad Stevens with any other coach in the NBA, that team doesn't improve. The only person who can tell me that is someone who's voting for Greg Popovich. And I don't think there's anyone out there who's going to vote for Greg Popovich this year, even though he also, by the way, has kind of a real case. He's probably the only person who's lost a similar caliber player to Gordon Hayward for the entire year, a better player than Gordon Hayward for the entire year, given it was not the injury. But
yeah, that's the weird thing.
That's
about
the rub.
That one. Yeah,
that's the rub. But
about that.
But I'm just
here's the
facts.
Thing.
We're just here. I'm just here talking on facts that I know. So
yeah. Well, Mark Stein had this thing, this tweet the other day where he's like, all these different coaches could be in the coach of the year conversation. He's, you know, listing people who are like, you know, 10 games, you know, like 5 games over 500. I'm like, are these people serious? Are they, I mean, they must be doing this just to keep all these coaches in their good graces. That's the only thing I can think of that makes any sort of sense, because it's completely flabbergasting to me that anybody could cast a ballot for anyone else other than Brad Stevens at this point. It's unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. I get that there's good coaches. You know, what Nate McMillan has, you know, done with Pacers, that's interesting and exciting. And Quinn Snyder, that's great. Good for him. Casey deserves some credit for, you know, finally getting his head out of his ass. But, oh, come on. I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
I'm gonna go to my happy place, and I'm definitely not gonna, you know, tweet at Zach Lowe for 13 times in a row because he said that Quinn Snyder is gonna get his vote for Coach of the Year. Because I'm not mad. It's actually funny to me. So
it's funny. Like tonight's game.
It's hilarious.
A lot of laughs. A lot of jokes. You know, it's like must see TV from, you know, the 1986. on NBC Thursday nights. It's all the laughs are there, you know. No, forget that. Let's go one step further. It's must. It's TGIF on ABC Friday nights in 1991. I mean, we're talking Family Matters. We're talking, you know, Perfect Strangers. It's all there, everybody. And it's exciting for all of us. And that was tonight's game. And unfortunately, it ended in a loss. But we all had a good time. We all laughed. And isn't that really what it's all about? I think that's what we all have to say.
I think that's what I would say.
Let's wrap it with that. I think that's the thing to do. Hey, thanks for listening tonight. Remember, you got to go to Hymns. You go forhymns.com/report. You go there, you get the $5, you get the month thing. It's great. You know, it's none of the voodoo stuff. It's all science. Do that. That makes what we do here happen. And, again, you can find this on the CLNS app. You can go on to clnsmedia.com. Find us on the YouTube page, youtube.com/clnsmedia. Go check out the Roundtable, CLNS Roundtable. Go check out Celtic Stuff Live. You want to follow us on Twitter, and you need to, because if you're not doing that, you're missing half the conversation. You can find the Mook Box Hero at Sam Sheehan. That's at SamSheehan. That's Sam Sheehan. That's not Sam Sheehan NBA. That's a
different
person.
Guy. Yeah,
different
guy.
Person. Very positive, but different
very
guy.
Very positive, polite man, but totally different guy. And
the guy, don't get that confused.
No. But we also, you know, you also got to show love to the Podfather at CSL Duke, who's been our host tonight. And anytime I get a chance to, you know, be on the show with one of the greats in the game, it's always a joy for me because I've listened to you and Justin throughout the years, and I feel like we've come up together. And you guys have nurtured me. Into, you know, kind of the talking head I am today, and I appreciate that.
Wow, that's high praise. The other day, I think this is a great time to make amends. The other day, I liked a tweet that our good friend, mutual friend Ryan Bernardoni put up, said that after going on a podcast, he wanted to kill himself and commit suicide. I liked the tweet, thinking it was a funny tweet. Ryan took that, screenshotted it, put it in, and it made it seem as though I was endorsing his suicide. That's not the case. Really, it was much more of a funny tweet. I liked the humor of it. Again, funny, probably like tonight's game. The humor didn't translate. Ryan does a great job. We'd love to have Ryan on. But
we gotta. He takes cat naps, man, because he is cat. Not a human. He's a cat. So he's in bed by now, asleep.
It's understandable. You know, you got the helmet, the whole thing. You know, when you're a cat, I get it. Maybe he'll get this on the replay tomorrow and listen to it in 15-second intervals because you got to take a nap when you're a cat.
We really got to wrap the show.
We do. We should have gone off the wheels, off the
rails. That's always what happens when you get the cat. But it's Bobby's fault. This is what he gets for putting us together again. He knows what he's getting whenever he puts us together.
Big mistake. All right. Thank you all for listening, everybody, to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. We will see you all. Have a good night. The Celtics lose tonight. Really bad, bad game. I'm not even going to repeat the score. It was so bad. Just know it was a bad loss to the Toronto Raptors. And let's tune in next time, Friday night. The Celtics face the Bulls. We'll see you all later. Have a good night.